So we get an alert for a stolen car, and we go screaming out after it and driving around. And we both, there it is, going the opposite direction as us. So he's driving. I'm riding passenger. He goes, just keep an eye on it while I try to navigate through this stacked up traffic. So I'm looking out the back of him. I'm like, I got it. All right. Going straight. Flip around. Hit the intersection of a major intersection in the city. Hits the lights, hits the siren. Clearing, you know, lane by lane. Car yields to us. The car behind that car is just head up ass, staring at the flashy lights, and just bam. Hits the back of it. It pushes them. Thank God they let off the brakes. So it pushes them forward. They just continue through the intersection, and we jam past it to go stop the stolen car.
Welcome to the Handcuffs and Sawdust Podcast, the show about life on the street as a beat cop and life in the shop as a woodworker. They pull no punches and tell it like it is. So buckle in and get ready. Now, here are your hosts from Marazzo Woodworking, Mike Marazzo, and from Full House Woodworking, Brandon Silvera.
How's things?
Wet, rainy.
Wet and rainy.
Yep.
Nice. Which is going to be the theme of this episode, right? Nice.
Nice.
Episode 69.
It's nice.
Nice.
Nice. Nice.
Brought to you by
Surf Prep.
Surf Prep. I don't have that. So,
nope. Mike just shamelessly plugs himself.
Yeah, you know what? I got tired. I love your banner in the background as well for your woodworking machine business. But what I don't like behind me is I don't have a clean area to record on. So, like with a background that's nice. That's nice, basically. So I got tired of looking at the miter station and the saw on the TV. So I have this banner. I bought it a year ago. I wanted to put it up in the shop, but I never did. So I was cleaning out my garage last month, and I found a portable photographic background pole setup, you know?
Yeah.
And so I said, hey, no one claimed it. I asked everyone in the house. And now my son used to be into photography, and he's got a bunch of photography equipment. So I said, is this yours? No, never seen it. No one ever seen it. I don't know if some homeless guy was walking by, tossed the enclosed thing into my garage, and then left it because no one knew whose it was. So I put it together, and it actually uses those really small tight clamps.
Like binder?
Banner on.
Binder clips?
Not binder clips. It's actually a clamp. But the tiny ones that you would...
Oh, like the Harbor Freight ones?
Yeah, and that's what comes with it. So it's just clamped onto the pole with three clamps. And I have it sitting during the week behind my drum set. And then I just dragged it in here to see how it would look and actually like it, the clean look. So this is what we're going to get from now on.
So all of you that enjoyed seeing Grogu.
Yeah, right. No Grogu.
Well, or you could get a Surf Prep sticker.
Project flags.
Put that up in the corner.
Oh, put it right up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have the flag that I have to ship out this week behind here. And we'll get to that later. So how was work this week during your atmospheric river and
bomb cyclone?
Bomb cyclone.
Sounds so. That just started raining. I guess the North Bay got hit hard. Yeah. The North Bay got hit pretty good, but it was supposed to be like 10 inches of rain in like 3 days or something like that. Like a month's worth of rain over a weekend.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. I didn't see it.
It's still raining out there from what the satellite said to me this morning on the news.
I don't care.
I've been watching the West Coast to see if you're okay and if your house didn't slide down a mountain.
I'm not on a mountain. I did, however, my kids, I give them give them their flowers. My two oldest walk the dogs every morning. That's their job.
Okay.
So they go around our little circle because we live in our little community is gated off. So they go for a walk around the circle, and they came in like, hey, over by Miss So-and-so's house, there's like water rushing out from this like little, it almost looks like a little box that's in the ground. They're like, oh, that's not good. Show me. So we go walking down there. And sure enough, like out of one of our neighbor's water meter is just pouring water out. Like, oh, that's real bad. we need to let them know. And then if they don't answer, then we'll call the water district for them. Wow. But yeah, they saw it and they didn't even hesitate. They came running back home to like, hey, this is probably not a good idea. This is probably not a good thing.
They didn't ask to make a paper boat and put it in the curb and watch it go down the street and then into the gutter where then they would
be. It wasn't a very far distance from where that meter was to the okay. gutter. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure there would have been some stuff floating down there. Yeah. And it would have been me. Like I would have been the one sitting there going, nice.
Come down. We all float down here. Hey, is this backwards to you?
No.
Oh, all right. It is on my screen.
It's okay. This is all backwards on mine.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. It's been freaking me out.
So I'm just used to it at this point. I spent most of my time at an FTO update course. My certification was up. So I had to go and get recertified in something I've been doing for 3 years. And I learned basically nothing.
Because it's only been 3 years. I mean, how often are you guys supposed to recert?
Every 3 years. Your post certification in being an FTO is good for 3 years. Then you have to go and get recertified for like legal update stuff. Only plus side was instead of a 40-hour course, it was a 24-hour course.
6 days or 6 hours a day, ish.
Yeah, I don't know. I only went 3 days.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. Or no, 8 hours a day because it was
8 hours a day. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if they broke it up and then you still went on the street or, you know, that was it for your day. It's just the
trip. Oh, no, that was it. It was all during my time that I'd be working anyways.
Oh, good.
So that was fun or whatever the opposite of that is.
I always love training days.
I do too, but I don't like having to commute 75 miles a day. Or 75 miles each way, 150 overall, and then coming back from the East Bay in regular commuter traffic. That sucks. That is horrible. That is my nightmare. So every time I left to go home, it was 2 hours. Like this, no, I'm not, no.
And that's not overtime.
No, no, not at all.
Okay. Now, do you get an option? When we have training, we can either go from home and then you don't get any overtime, or you go to the station, grab a squad, then go to training, and then you get your covered if there's anything late or, you know, if you get any overtime. But the problem is the department's 30 miles from me, and most of my training was as well, but not in the same direction.
Yeah, so I had to at least pass by some of our city stuff, so I was allowed to use a unit car, but I got to take it home so I could just go straight from home to there and then stop off.
That's
usually at our substation to gas up.
Okay. That's cool. So you didn't,
so at least I didn't have to spend. Yeah. I didn't have to spend money on gas, but you know, the 2 hour commute sucked.
Oh, there's no way. I mean,
an hour and a half in the morning, and there was no way. Like, I basically got up at my regular time and left close to my regular time that I leave for work. And I'd get there like an hour early. But if I delayed it at all, traffic stacks up so bad that I'd be late. So it was like either get there an hour early or be like 25 minutes late. And being late gives me anxiety. So I just sat there. And the first day I almost crapped my pants though.
You were on time. Why is that?
So, well, I drink coffee on my way in. And I arrived at about 6:30 in the morning, and my body was ready to go. Cause typically, and this might be TMI for y'all, but when I get to work, I go into our locker room and I take shit. It's the way it goes. Come back in after the end of the day, change out, take a dump. So It's how my body works. Yep. So my body goes, hey, we're here. It's time to go.
Time to go.
Well, the training was at a library that doesn't open until like the training class starts. So I found a local McDonald's down the street.
Oh, not another McDonald's bathroom story.
Yeah. I didn't kick the door in though. So I go in there. I go, hey, can I have the code to your bathroom? He's like, oh, it's for customers only. God damn it. All right, fine. Give me a number one. I don't care. Give it with orange juice. And then can I have the code? So I basically got,
it was close.
Got strong armed into buying right, some McDonald's.
You didn't want to eat. Yeah. Did you eat it though?
Yeah, I ate it. I'm not going to just spend and when the hell, by the way, did McDonald's breakfast prices like jump to where a sausage egg McMuffin meal is like $11?
Really?
Yeah, it was like $11.
Wow, I don't know. I think the last thing I bought was just 2 weeks ago down in Alabama. I bought a breakfast burrito, you know, two burritos, a hash brown and a coffee, and it was like $7.
Yeah, that's I don't know. Maybe it's just the sales tax or just California being California, but damn.
Maybe.
$11 bucks for a sausage egg McMuffin with cheese.
I'm really hungry.
And they give you just a little tiny orange juice. It wasn't even like a regular sized orange juice.
That's okay. That just fucks up your stomach worse, orange juice, doesn't it? Not for you?
No, I like orange juice.
I can't do it. I just can't do it. It's too acidic.
Acidic? For me.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was pretty much the bulk of my week. And then the week before, we took my son for his 12th birthday, wanted to do a trip to Universal, just him, Annie, and myself. So we did that. That's why we didn't record the week prior. So we were down in Universal.
I sent you a few memes from vacation. Like John Candy saying, sorry, folks, the park's closed. The moose up front should have told you. But I never got a response from you.
Well, no, because we left. The whole thing was we were going to go up, stay one night, do the park 2 days. We got to buy, you know, you buy a day, you get a day free. So we basically got to go in twice. So it was like, okay, how do we maximize this? So it was like, okay, if we leave like ass crack of dawn, we can get down to LA in time for the park open, go enjoy the day, bounce, sleep, go back to the park the following day until we've done everything we wanted to do again, and then just head home. So that's what we did. We left at about 4:30 in the morning, got to LA, parked, and actually made it into the park before official opening.
Which is what time they open? 9?
It was like 10. They opened at like 10. They had modified hours, I think, because they're switching over from Halloween to Christmas stuff. But
okay.
Yeah, so we got there in time for park open, did everything. There were like no lines. It was amazing. Like that's Caleb awesome. Caleb and I did the Harry Potter like Hogwarts castle ride like 3 times and had like no wait. It's like there was so little of a line. We were able to walk around the little castle they have mocked up and actually like explore the Hogwarts castle that they have.
Wow. That's very cool. I saw some of your pictures. I've never been out there for that. That's Universal, you said?
Yeah. So they have a little Simpsons. They have Springfield set up.
Okay.
So you can go in, and we had like Krusty Burger for lunch. I had a Duff beer. And then we had one of the Lard Lad with the big giant pink donuts.
Oh, yeah.
And he wanted to try one of the, was it Buzz Cola that they have on the show? Okay. Well, he doesn't. So, like, I guess this is where we're kind of California-y, is we don't, like, the kids don't really drink soda very often, if at all.
Good.
So, he tried this Buzz Cola, and we limit sugar intake pretty heavily. So, between the three of us, we split this giant-ass freaking donut. Andy, then he has a Buzz Cola, and he's like, he looks at me after, he's like, Dad, I can't stop shaking.
Oh my God.
Like he holds his hand up and he's like this. He's just vibrating.
Oh my God.
And I go, yeah, dude. I go, that's called a sugar high. He's like, I kind of want to just run.
A lot.
Like, It's like, I just want to go. I'm like, I know. I'm like, we're not going to go stand in a line. We're going to walk. We're going to walk this off a little bit.
Yeah.
But we got to do the studio tour. That was fun. We went to the Super Nintendo Land, which was pretty cool, but it's very small. Okay. If anybody goes there, it's definitely worth it to get the little power-up thing, because other than that, you go on one ride and that's pretty much it.
Right.
It's a little power-up band. It's like $40, but you can, it's like interactive with the land, and you can do a bunch of stuff and earn a trip into like a little secret spot. So that would be the only thing that I would redo it.
This we would have gotten to that. Get to the Universal Studios in Florida.
Yeah. Orlando's supposed to be pretty good.
We haven't been there since 1988. So it was the year before Universal opened. MGM had studios there, a studio tour that we did. And then we did Epcot and all that other stuff. It was just Kim and I. But it was like, it was in January. And I think it was minus 40 below up here when we were gone. And it was in the low 50s down there. We actually were in the pool at night at the Epcot Center Resort. And people are like, you guys are nuts. It's like, hey, it's 40 below zero back home. We want to get in a pool. We're in a pool. It's like 50 degrees here. We're in the pool. Who cares? But
yeah, the only downside was having to look at all this Dodger World Series crap.
Yeah,
because it was like immediately after the parade.
Yeah.
Yes, my in-laws are Dodgers fans.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So
I was pulling for them.
I wasn't.
Freddie Freeman's a beast. I love. He's one of my favorite players. He has been.
I do too. And I used to love Freddie Freeman, and then he put on a Dodger uniform. Now I don't like him. Kind of same thing with Shohei. Just don't like him. Don't like him.
Wow.
It's going to be the same thing with Juan Soto when he puts on the Dodger jersey. Well, don't like him.
Well, actually, I heard yesterday that the Mets are going after Soto really hard. Like,
yeah, well, they were going at the clubhouse. Yeah, they were going after Ohtani pretty hard too.
Yeah, it might be kind of hard to beat the West Coast baseball life.
Well, he's, you know? I think, I don't know where he's from, but he seemed to really enjoy New York. He strikes me as an East Coast guy. So I'd rather him just go back to the Yankees and keep him out of the National League.
I'd prefer that, I don't care where he goes. My team's not anywhere close to a championship, so I could care if everyone goes back to the Yankees or the
Indians. Dude, you guys just signed Austin Slater. Crushes left-handed pitching.
It's so funny because
all he does.
As soon as that happened, well, at least 30% of the time he'll be getting hits. The other 70%, not so much. My buddy Drew sends me a text right away. He's like, did you hear the news? Sox signed Austin Slater. I'm like, who the fuck is that? And why do I even care anymore?
He is a forever giant.
Okay.
And
so he was good with you guys?
Against lefties.
Was he on the 107 win team? Was it 107 guys won?
Yeah, he was on the 107 team. Hmm. Didn't do a whole lot, but he was on that team. He's like the career fourth or fifth outfielder.
All right. Well, we need some outfield depth. No, we need outfielders. We've got one. His name's Robert. The rest of them.
It's Robert.
Robert Jr.
Junior.
We've got nobody, man. I keep waiting for them to pull the trade for Garrett Crochet, and they want position players back because they got a lot of pitching depth. But I don't know.
Oh, that 121 losses tells me you don't have a lot of anything.
Got good pitching depth. And that's it.
Your record not says that you don't. Starting
pitching. That's because no one can catch the ball or hit the ball. So the pitcher does the job, and then it gets hit to some guy who can't play defense, and they can't catch the ball. And the bullpen sucked. So it'll be an interesting winter. They're actually bringing back their fan event this year. They used to have a thing called Sox Fest. It used to be 3 days downtown Chicago. And then I think after COVID, they canceled it, obviously, because of COVID. And they haven't brought it back since. And now they're going to do a short, like, two-day thing. And you get to meet, like, Frank Thomas and all the good White Sox players. And then, of course, the 121 lost team will be there. Some of those guys. And then the new manager. Another new manager.
Who is their manager now? Who did they hire?
Let's see. They just fired Pedro Grifol. He was the third base coach for the Cubs the last few years. Or the last 2 years, he was the bench coach for the Rangers. He was a player. He's a player. Anyways, So we got a new manager again, but not like we had a chance to get Bochy. We don't need him, right? He goes to Texas and wins a World Series. He won so many with you guys. But they just don't hire well. So we'll see. He was a good player.
Will Venable.
Okay. Yes. Will Venable. He was a good player.
He was a finalist for the Giants job, before they hired Kapler and Bob Melvin.
Yeah. So who knows? He can't help them. Well, he can't do the catching and the hitting for the players, so they need a bunch of players. But
player manager?
Yeah. Yeah. How long ago did he retire? Probably.
It's not that long ago.
He'd probably still be better than half the team. Yeah.
Well, that was when the Giants announced Buster Posey as the president of baseball operations. I was like, sweet. Is he going to play too?
Right. When did they need help? Because I haven't heard that. Was that recently?
Like immediately after they fired Farhan? Like they fired Farhan and was like, Posey's going to take over.
Wow. Was he being a consultant at the time?
He's part owner.
Buster Posey's part owner?
Yeah, he's part of the ownership group.
I did not know that.
That happened like 2-3 years ago?
Right after he retired.
Yeah. But he went back to Georgia for a little bit, and then he was like, nah, I miss it. And he was like, I'm going to be part owner.
Good for him.
And then he saw what was going on. He's like, no, look at me. I am the president now. I run this.
I am your president now. Good. Well, I hope you guys do just good enough to finish in third.
It's all they're going to be able to do.
Behind the Padres and the Dodgers, right?
Yeah. They got a lot of work to do.
You'll be three spots higher than the White Sox. So I was telling you earlier that if I want to watch the White Sox, I have to pay to stream them. And I don't think it's worth the $11 a month. Nah. So I'll have a lot of free time this summer. What sucks is when I go to Alabama, there's no baseball. Until the White Sox move to Nashville.
Well, you're close to the Braves.
Yeah, it's 5 hours, so I'm not sure what the regional team coverage would be down there on the television.
Well, who else would be? It could be the Braves. It could be the Cardinals. It could be the Royals.
The Cardinals might be too far. Maybe the Royals. I know for football, it's going to be the Titans because they're 2 hours north of me.
Okay.
So I'll probably get to see Titans or Falcons football, one of the two.
Titans will probably be your CBS, and then
yeah, right.
Falcons will be your Fox.
Yeah. So I told Kim we should get season tickets to the Titans. That'd be a fun trip every Sunday. Just go up. It's 2 hours, 2 hours and 20 minutes. Tailgate, see some football, see some live music, and then come back home.
Have you seen how much season tickets are?
I'm not even looking yet, no.
For even bad teams, it's a lot, man.
Because you get, well, now there's what, eight or nine home games?
Eight. Well, I think it alternates each year. They alternate between eight and nine. I think it depends on how many preseason games you had at home. So if you have the two home preseason games, then
right,
you get the eight. Home game. But if you play two of your preseason ones on the road, then you get the extra home game. I don't know.
There's probably a couple $1,000 a year.
Oh, minimum.
Yeah.
And I think parking passes are sold separately. So, those are like, $100. Well, then you can't tailgate.
That's true. Yeah. So I don't have to worry about that for 2 years or so until she retires. And then we'll figure out which teams I'm going to be rooting for in the professional sports leagues. Cause I'm not going to live on college athletics alone. That's not going to work for me. I'll have to watch Predator hockey. Yeah, I hate the Preds as a Blackhawk fan. That's going to suck.
You don't have to, like the local professional teams. Like, people are more forgiving.
Yeah.
At least in the South, like of your professional tastes. But like we were mentioning in the pre-show, like, dude, you got to pick one. You're either War Eagle or Roll Tide.
Yeah.
You know what you got to do is need to go to a store and try on a couple hats, see which one looks better. And then that's how you make your decision.
Years ago, when I was on patrol, I used to go to breakfast at this restaurant in Schiller Park. It's been there for 50 years. So we'd go to breakfast every morning. And on the weekends, this one guy, Earl, would come in. And he was the son-in-law of my friend Leo, who was like everyone's grandpa, Leo was. So Leo got ill, and Earl came up from Alabama to take care of Leo. And that's how I met him. And then Leo passed one day, and like a few weeks later, it was in December that year, Earl called me, said, "Hey, I'm coming up to Illinois, and I got something for you." I'm like, "All right, cool." So we met, and he gave me three Alabama Crimson Tide hats. One is like a camouflage hat. One's the maroon hat. I forget what the third one is. So I have the hats. I've never worn them. They're in my closet, but I kept them because it meant they were Leo's. He handed them to me. So it, you know, it's got some meaning there. So,
well, it sounds like you're a Bama fan.
Probably. And I'm going to try and find it for the next show. When I was in high school, we had to draw ourselves on the cover of a magazine in my art class, because I'm somewhat the artist. And so I drew myself as a running back for the Crimson Tide with my number on my helmet. And it's actually pretty cool. It's Sports Illustrated cover.
All right. Well, so it sounds like you're a Bama fan. Try giving the Roll Tide a
Roll
shout.
Roll Tide! Does that work?
I think that needs work.
Okay. Yeah. I'll have to study.
That's like a C-plus effort. We're going to need more.
Okay. Well, I don't want to yell into the microphone because I always blast you out.
Well, I'm not saying yell, but you got to get a little bit of... Show like the roll is like elongated. It's like Roll Tide.
Okay. Well, I better get that down because I'll get kicked out of a restaurant if I don't do it properly.
You'll get kicked out of the damn state.
So you need
to lock that in.
I don't know if someone would actually kick me
out. Yeah, screw up a Roll Tide and see how friendly they are.
Roll Tide!
There you go. That's better. See, we got improvement.
I'm good. So at work, that's it. You just train.
Yeah, basically. I mean, we have two new recruits on the channel and or on my team. So they're doing most of the work.
All the calls. Yeah.
And then we'll see where they're at. There's my buddy has one. And on the DORs each day, you're supposed to list a most acceptable, least acceptable.
Right.
And traditionally we'll ask the recruits, right? We want to see if they're tracking or if their thought process is along the lines of what we're thinking and go like, "Hey, what do you think your best and your worst were?" Well, this little mother trucker looks at my buddy and goes, "Well, I believe it's the role of the educator to pick that." I'm like, "That's a bold move, dumbass.
That's not how it goes."
"I don't think you understand how this works, son. I ask you a question and you answer it."
Well,
it's end of, I don't know. Dude, millennials. Okay. We're going to get into this, boomer.
Okay.
Millennials are not the problem. Okay. We are the product of Gen X, who came up with the everybody gets a trophy. We didn't ask for that. The adults at the time were the ones that said everybody gets a trophy. So we all got trophies. And you go figure, nobody can figure out why an entire generation turned out soft, with a few exceptions. And now we have these Gen Z, and then whatever the hell came after. I think I heard someone call it Gen Alpha. Like, they don't know how to interact with human beings. Like this, they can't do this. They can't do this. They have to use this thing, and they have to get on it, and they have to, like, they can't even talk on the phone. They have to text. They cannot have a conversation. It blows my mind. They'll never know the fear of having to call as a 12-year-old a person's house of a girl that you like, and then have her dad or brother answer the phone and ask for her.
No,
but they will never know that fear or that anxiety. And then all of a sudden, we're surprised when all these kids are softer than a wet paper sack.
But I don't think you should blame my generation for that.
It's directly your generation's fault.
But like, I didn't teach
my because that's a number one. Stuff. Well, neither have I. And that's why my kids are kind of running shit. But
right,
the thing is people are products of their environment. Yes or no?
Of course.
Okay. So is it the kid who grows up to be a gangster's fault that he became a gangster, or is it his gangster father's fault that he became a gangster?
That one.
Yeah. Right. It's the parents' fault. Right. So Is it the kid who was given a trophy, even though he sucked, Or is it the adult that made sure that he got the trophy, even though he sucked and was made to think that he was awesome?
Right.
I understand it. And in certain cases, I even agree with it. Like at younger ages, like T-ball and up to like coach pitch. Yeah. Everybody should get a trophy to build the intrigue and build the wanting to come back for it. But once you start getting older and it actually starts getting competitive, no, winning matters.
Right. And if you suck, you suck. You don't get a trophy.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not your thing. Go find your thing.
What's your thing? What are you working on in the shop?
Being a cop. That's my thing. That's what I'm good at. It's about all I'm good at. Oh, no. I do have a funny story, though. It involves, we were talking about car accidents, and this involves a car accident.
Okay.
So before my buddy got his recruit, we usually will ride two man. We'll double up in the car.
Okay.
And one of the things we do, we have an ALPR system that will alert us. So automated license plate reader.
Oh, right. Yeah. APR.
So all throughout the city. So we'll check it every so often and have it set to give us alerts when stolen cars pop up. So we get an alert for a stolen car. And we go screaming out after it and driving around. And we both, there it is. Going the opposite direction as us. So he's driving. I'm riding passenger. He goes, just keep an eye on it. While I try to navigate through this stacked up traffic. So I'm looking out the back of him. Like, I got it. All right. Going straight. Flip around. Hit the intersection of a major intersection in the city. Hits the lights, hits the siren. Clearing, you know, lane by lane. Car yields to us. The car behind that car is just head up ass, staring at the flashy lights, and just bam, hits the back of it. It pushes them. Thank God they let off the brakes. So it pushes them forward. They just continue through the intersection, and we jam past it to go stop the stolen car.
Did you call it in? Hey, get a squad to this intersection.
No. We went back. I mean, judging by the impact, it didn't look like there were going to be any injuries.
Okay.
So we do everything with that. And then we hand it off to one of the recruits. We're like, hey, we have to go back because 100% there was an accident. We need to go check on it real quick. So we go flying back and I mean, there's nobody there. You can still see the debris field. We're like, all right, cool. Like, let's check this parking lot. Nothing. All right, let's go down here. Nothing. Like, we drove around for a while trying to find it. Like, we're looking at to see if any crashes pop up and like nothing. Like, all right, cool. They must have exchanged information and went about their day.
Good for them. More people need to do that and leave us police officers alone.
Yes. Especially when there's no injuries. So for those of you out there listening who may not be cops, if you're involved in an accident and there are no injuries, exchange information and go away. You do not need to call us. Now, if somebody's being an asshole and refusing to exchange information, go ahead and call us. We'll help. But if nobody's hurt,
a minor fender bender in rush hour traffic, and they won't move their fucking cars off of traffic because you got to take pictures of the. No, I don't.
No, get your fucking
car off the road. Right.
No.
Get off. I know. Get what out. Happened.
Yeah, I know. You stopped. He didn't.
I used to get in arguments with my sergeants because I always thought it was an insurance company's business to do traffic crashes. If everyone's valid and no one's DUI, there's no criminal act involved. We're done. We don't need to do this shit. We're just working for the insurance companies. And I was shot down every time. So I wasn't successful in pushing that off on the insurance companies.
Well, I'll tell people like, okay, I'm here, right? Obviously some portion of the vehicle code was violated that caused this accident because you can't just drive.
Which one you gets the ticket?
And I'll go, okay. I have no problem investigating this. Just understand that whoever I determine to be at fault is getting a ticket. 100% you are getting a ticket. There is no debating it. And if you want to argue it, I'll take the overtime to go to court. Don't care. Or are you just looking, for the incident number to give to your insurance? Yeah, we just need the incident number. Okay, cool. I'll give you that all day long. You know, when you call, you can actually ask them for the incident number and they'll give it to you. And then you don't waste my time because I'm already starting to think like, you know what? I might just give you a ticket just to do it.
That's how I wrote all my tickets.
You're at fault for following too close and you're getting one for impeding traffic because you're still in the middle of the lane. Are we all happy now? It's a wonder why I get called into IA for courtesy.
Courtesy problems.
We actually have a duty manual section that governs courtesy.
Sure.
And that's the number one thing I've been dragged into IA for.
I had some guy show up at the police department one night at like midnight. Him and his wife and kids were downtown. And they got in some traffic altercation in Chicago. So obviously it's not my jurisdiction, but just outside of our jurisdiction. And they show up at my PD and the guy's adamant that someone shot at his car. There's a hole in his car. And I'm with one of my buddies and I'm like, I can only see your car, because he's adamant he's going to file a report for some guy shooting at him. I'm like, all right, let's go look at your car. So I go look, and there's some type of damage to the car. In my opinion, having been on a homicide team and having done tons of cars that have been shot up, this wasn't a bullet hole. But I saw a Cub sticker in his window, and I said, "Ah, I see the problem." He's like, "What?" I go, "You're a Cub fan. Maybe pissed off a Sox fan." He went and complained to the boss. I'm like, I was just trying to – just a little bit of levity. And
I was just trying to be funny.
Yeah, and the wife laughed, but the husband didn't think that was too funny. And then he reported me, and I got called in. So I'm like, come on, man.
I've done that where I've had the same exact reaction to my boss. I'm like, I was a joke. I was trying to be funny. And he looks at me and goes, "How'd that work out for you?" Like, apparently not well.
All right, I'll just stop talking to people.
Okay, fine. I'll be a robot.
Right. They got to put some human feelings into this.
Yeah.
Break the ice.
All right. Yeah.
Want to go over the officers? There's a handful, not many. Is that good?
How many?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5.
Okay. We're just going to go name and department.
Yeah, we will.
Because I got a hard out.
I know. You got to get out of here in 20 minutes. Or 17 minutes. So we've got, let's see, we got to get the music going.
Sad music.
So the first, yeah, sad music. The first one actually here in Chicago, police officer Enrique Martinez of the Chicago Police Department. His end of watch was Monday, November 4th, 2024, from gunfire. That was actually on a traffic stop. And I believe they still haven't caught the perpetrator. Hey, and my page just reloaded. So hold on a second.
And you have from the Golden Police Department in Colorado, Officer Evan Dunn. From
vehicular assault.
Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office in Florida, Ralph Butch Waller.
Struck by a vehicle.
Also, Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, Corporal Luis Paez, I'm going to guess on that one.
No, yeah, Paez, yeah.
Yeah.
Struck by a vehicle, must have been in the same car.
Probably. And then from the Harris County Constable's Office in Texas, Deputy Constable Catherine Hudson. Vehicular assault.
Wow.
Sounds like a deuce driver hitter.
Yeah, probably. And for those people that don't know what that is, that's a drunk.
Yeah.
And we've got one dog. Yeah, the very last one.
Canine Titan from the Coweta County Sheriff's Office in Georgia by gunfire. And in Madera County, California, just had a canine shot, canine Odie, I believe. Odie is expected to survive his injuries, but.
Oh, thank God.
He was shot by POS.
And did they get the POS?
Yeah, he got shot too.
Oh, good.
Not dead. He's alive.
Oh, well, someone missed the vital organs then.
So what are you working on, Mike?
Well, I want to tell you one thing. So before I left for Alabama 2 weeks ago, I got an Etsy order. I keep forgetting to shut my shop off. Because right now, with everyone wanting Christmas gifts, I would love to be the guy who hopes I get more orders. It's the opposite way around. I ain't got time to be doing any woodwork. So I had a guy order a large subdued flag from me. So anybody that doesn't know what that is, this is the first large one I'm doing. I did a small one, and that's actually the profile picture on my Etsy page for that type of flag. And it says burned stripes and black. Black Union, black stripes, and engraved stars. Plain color, wood. So I started that. I texted the guy and said, listen, I'm out of town when the order came in. I'll be in the shop in a few weeks. Do you want it personalized? He never responded to me. I have till December 10th to ship it. I'm ready. Today I took it out of the clamps. I'm going to spray it today, and hopefully by Wednesday I can package it up and ship it. Then Kim's cousin, Stacy, her in-laws, one of them's a Marine. So she wants, if you've seen my Marine flag, it's burned and red with the blue Union, white painted stars, and it's got a big brown Marine logo that sits above the flag, and it's backlit on the logo and the flag's backlit. I'm doing one of those for her. And I'm doing a flag for my former chief from my department and now in Bensonville, who offered me a job in Bensonville. I'm doing him a flag for Christmas as a gift. And while I was doing this, I used to, the whole time I've always signed my flag, signed, dated, numbered with a marker. And then the other day I thought, well, because I'm too lazy to get my laser up, right? So January I'll get working on the laser. So instead, I thought I want to put my mark on the back and stop signing it. So I did this. Oh, here we go. So this is on the back of the Union. And this is for Dan because he did a lot for me for my career. But now I'll have the flag number and the date made. I still have to put the stars on here. I decided that this is flag 144. Most of my flags have been just 13 pieces of wood, and then I engraved the stars on for the Union on those 13, on the 7 pieces of wood that all have different levels. So sometimes the star is this big, and sometimes it's this big. I found that when I do the solid Unions, all the flags are uniform, or all the stars are uniformed for whatever, because the whole piece is like flat. So I'm starting to do all three of them will have a logo and a message on the back with my logo on it. And then I got commissioned since we last spoke, I think, to do built-in bookshelves at my client's house who I did the kitchen island for. So her and her husband had been saving up. They finished paying off their van, so they had some money. So she called and said, hey, I want to do these bookshelves. So it's cabinets with bookshelves on top, each side of the fireplace. And I went over to her house to take all the measurements and stuff, and I put it in the cut list optimizer and so I can get my material sheet, and then I gave her a quote. And it's a fair quote. She's getting a discount because I've done the island for her and a bunch of stuff for the police department and her friends and stuff. So I send her the quote, and she's, this is when you wish you would have charged more. She says, oh, wow, that's really inexpensive. We were expecting way more than that. I'm like, oh, okay.
Damn it.
Yes, I shortchanged myself. It was fair. But anyways, I got that coming up. And then she called me 2 days ago, and she said, hey, can you do this? She has a bearded dragon, her daughter does. So apparently they have something that bearded dragons go sit up on top of and bask. It's a basking platform. I think that's what it's called. Where they climb up it and they sit at the top underneath the heat lamp.
Yeah, I have no clue so what she's that's called.
Okay, yeah. I had never seen it or heard of it. So she sent me pictures and said, can you make this? And the one she sent is just, it's like pine that was burned and stained. And it's a base with a little piece of wood under it, like a square base under it. So only about an inch high. Then he gets up on that. Then there's 4 posts or dowels with a top rack or top level, and then little stairs leading up to it, and a stained green. So I'd never seen them. I started doing some research, and she says, I understand if you're overwhelmed and you're too busy, then don't worry about it. And I'm like, no, it's cool. So yesterday I decided that I've got a ton of pine sitting around. So how hard can this be to whip one up really quick before I get out of here? Because I'm going to be leaving again in like a week or so, a week and a half. So all that being said, the biggest project I have going on right now is this police department sign for an officer who died of cancer. It's 37 inches or 39 inches long by 20 something wide. And it's got a saying that he used to say all the time engraved in it. It's supposed to 4 badges on it. As I'm building this on the software and I go click to engrave, 56 hours of engraving time.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So I sent the deputy chief an email, said, listen, this is 56 hours of engraving time. I'm going to try and get it down. I can't run my machine for 6 hours at a time. It's just not made to do that. So give me a little bit more time to work on it. So I went on forums, did all that kind of stuff, trying to limit the times. I finally grouped stuff and certain things where I'm going to be one badge is going to take 2 hours to engrave. And that's all I'm going to do that day because that's a lot of time on a handheld router. Right? So I got it down. So finally yesterday, Brandon, I'm ready to put this thing on the machine. It's been freaking me out the whole time. I had to glue up 3 panels that are maple to make it, all this other stuff, get it down to size. I put it on the machine and I'm like, well, here we go. I'm going to engrave this. I got 20 minutes, right? And this is going to be the sentence with his name attributed to it and then his dates of employment and when he passed away. So I get it on the machine and it starts going. And the first thing the machine says to me is, now I got it as far forward as I can get it. And I zero it out and do all the Z's and stuff. And I get it. It's go to push, go, start. And it says, this will hit the back of your machine or some bullshit. And I'm like, what the fuck? This is no bigger than a flag that I do. And if we're only engraving the words in the middle, how is it going to hit the back? Because it's in the middle of the piece. So it starts engraving and it gets to where these words should be in the middle, way over here. And it does the first 4 words. Keep fighting the good. It's supposed to be keep fighting the good fight. Something. It puts keep fighting the good. And then I look at it and it's almost at the end of the fucking panel. And it's already engraved in there on the side. It's supposed to be engraved. And I'm fucking pissed because it took me literally 2 months to build it on in the software. And plus then do the boards and stuff. So I'm hoping that the machine just had a brain fart because it's not user error. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to flip it and hopefully it starts doing it the proper way and I don't have to scrap the entire project and start over. So that I was going to do today, but last night I was so mad. I sent John Erickson pictures and said, I might take it with me to John's and put on his big CNC. He's got a Phantom.
I wonder if you could, like, to avoid it reaching the back, right? If that error message pops up, if you could slide it forward enough, because if you're not going to engrave the stars all at the same time, you could just do that one sentence, right? Move the flag, reposition the wording on the flag, and then that way it would be like dead center of the engraving area.
The problem is when you set your corner down here, the machine only goes so far past the cutting surface. So I have it out as far as I can get it forward because you still have to do the X, Y, and Z with the probe. So I can't move it any more forward.
You couldn't slide the flag corner off the machine some to have the engraved area just be.
No, because right now, if the machine didn't malfunction, the engraved area would be right in the center of the whole machine. There's no issue. It's where it's set.
Is there a way that you can frame it? So like, for example, on my laser, right, I can click frame and the laser will go and move around the area that it's going to work in.
What I think I'm going to do is something similar to that. Just take the bit out when I flip it over and hit start after I re-Z it and everything and see if it goes to the center and starts doing it. I think what happened was I had it too far forward at first and I put the corner Z thing on it. So when it started to do it to get my left and right X and Y, it was too far forward. So it stopped and I had to like end the function. So it went up and it went to the middle. I moved the wood, re-put the thing back on. It went back. And then normally the machine would say, when you stop it like that, it reboots the machine. So it didn't do it this time. It just went right back to the starting point. So I'm thinking it didn't reboot, which it normally does, and that threw an error code into it or something. So because this, all there is 4 badges and this saying on it. And each badge, the detective badge is a shield. Like you guys, you guys wear stars, right?
Yeah, we got a star.
You got the 7-point stars, but it's like the LA shield basically as a detective. And that's the one that's got the most detail. And it's going to take like 3 hours because the eagle has feathers and all this other bullshit on it. The other ones are 2 stars and then an honor guard star with a circle around it. So it shouldn't be taking that long. Then Don Can told me, maybe you've got layers. Cause I guess with the lasers, if you accidentally copy or paste a layer on top of it, it'll like double the time because you have 2 layers there, right?
Yeah, and it'll double burn it, and sometimes it screws you up.
So I moved every piece to make sure there wasn't another layer below it, and that wasn't the issue. So I sped up feed times, changed a couple bits. I literally 2 months been messing with this. So that's what I'm having issues with. And that's where I'm at. I don't know. So I might just I got to go back down to Alabama next week. So I might just bring it with me and go to John's house. Especially if I try to engrave it again and it happens again, I'm going to save the file to my, I'll just bring my computer down to John's and engrave it on his big machine, and hopefully I don't have an issue.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's what I'm working on. What do you got going?
In the next I got nothing.
Several minutes. Nothing?
I got nothing. I haven't gotten a single Christmas order. I did finish a box for an end of shift gift for one team's boss. That was frustrating because my freaking box joint jig did not perform as intended. On my test piece, it did. But then when it came time, you know, to put pedal to the metal, it
right.
Like the tension was just too much. Okay. So just went to butt joints, just pivoted. And,
okay.
But it still looked good. It just wasn't what I was trying to do.
Right.
And then Annie wanted some, like little wooden Christmas trees. So I built one of those, but Etsy has been a giant, frustration because I like literally haven't done anything other than add a bunch of stuff, to the shop. And it's not performing like at all. So what I think happened is I think Etsy has gone and further made it to where if you're not paying for advertising, they're just not going to push anything. So it's frustrating because it's going to be like that. Etsy is the main way that I sell stuff. I don't do a lot of vendor shows because I don't have time, right? I got 3 kids and they all have activities. So like this coming weekend, I'm going to be helping work on a float for my son's martial arts studio. All 3 kids are in the Christmas parade that same night. So I don't have time to do all these vendor fairs and stuff like that. It's not possible. So Etsy is kind of the way that I really try and do stuff. And then even Facebook Marketplace is pretty much non-existent just because there's so many scams out there and I'm tired of dealing with the scam bots. So it's frustrating. I can tell that I've also, since I haven't had a lot of time to be out in the shop, it has 100% affected my mood and the way that the way that I am. Cause that's my get right time. So it's been kind of frustrating and I've been kind of down about it, but I'm trying to get back out to get out there a little bit more. That's why I haven't been on like the Full House Instagram page. Like usually that used to be my primary page that I used. Like I'd pop over every now and then for my personal one, but that was where most of my interactions and most of stuff was happening. But just like for the last month or two, just haven't been on it. So part of that is the new shift and working at day shift. Cause by the time I get home, I'm gassed and it's already like 6:30 and it's, kids are in the middle of stuff. And if I have a recruit, I have to write a DOR if I haven't done it already. And I don't know, it's kind of frustrating. So we'll see, we'll see what this following week brings. Cause I can't do custom orders now. Like if people want stuff for Christmas, custom orders are basically shut off unless it's a tumbler. And even then I only have one of the iridescent ones on hand. So when you engrave it, it shows up all rainbowy, which is super cool. But
that's cool.
By the time I order the tumbler from Sam, it's not going to be here in time. So I would have to go to Amazon. I'd rather give my money to Sam than to Amazon.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, I thought I was going to get back on IG more. And I have this wavy flag that I brought and donated, or I brought the wavy flag to the customer and got pictures and stuff. I just haven't put them on there. And I made a flag for Don before I went down to, I went to Don's in Pennsylvania, and I made a flag for him with his dysfunctional woodworker. And I used wood that he gave me that was going to be the base of his floor that he put down. It's a hemlock, and it got weathered, so it's gray. And he gave me a bunch of it 3 years ago. And so I thought I wanted to make a flag for his shop out of this wood he gave me that was going to be the floor of his shop. So I did that, and I got video for that. And even when I brought it to him, I put it on the front of his shop, and I went to his front door. I filmed him coming out. We were just going to go – we were going off to the automobile repair place that he worked at. And he looked over at his shop and saw this thing leaning up against his front door. And I filmed that. I want to put it on IG. I just have – it's not that I don't have the energy or the mental capacity, because I open up IG and I get overwhelmed by everyone doing so much stuff and I haven't done much at all.
Yeah.
It's like depressing. So
yeah.
I don't post.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. Oh, damn. We'll have to do it next week. Help me remember. We do have a question from from David Miller.
Oh,
but we'll have to get to it next week because I gotta go get my hairs cut, and I gotta take my son with me, and he's supposed to be jumping on, was it Fortnite, and playing with a buddy of his that moved out to New York. Okay. So I gotta boogie.
All right,
but cool. If you have questions, send them to either Mike at Morazzo Woodworking or myself at Full House Woodworking on Instagram, or email the show at handcuffsandsawdust@gmail.com, or is it pod? Did you throw a podcast in there too?
It's handcuffs sawdust podcast
@gmail.com. And as always, we got to thank our sponsor, Surf Prep, for sponsoring today's video.
Thank you, Surf Prep. It was great having you guys for another episode. There's the music.
You played the intro for the outro.
I did, didn't I? That's here's the outro. No Jason. It's been a while, and I'm drugged up on sleep medication. Hey, happy Thanksgiving to everybody, and you, Brandon. Happy Thanksgiving to you and Annie and the kids, and hope you guys have a safe holiday. And
I'll be working.
I actually love working on Thanksgiving, so I'm going to miss that. But
I hate it. It always ends up in a fight.
Well, there's our fights, yes. So good luck with that. And I guess we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, I love you. Bye.
Bye.